Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your wonderful grace to our upon our lives this past week. And Lord, we are ever mindful, Lord, that you are in control of all things. And we are ever assured, Lord, that there's nothing that can separate us from you. And that, Lord, that you have brought us into a relationship not based on works, but based upon your love for us. And we thank you for that. And we praise you for it. And we ask now, Lord, for our hearts and minds to be settled from the cares of this world and to just rest at your feet. May your Holy Spirit minister your grace and truth to us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've been looking at what it means to be in a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that, first of all, that God is real and personal, and that God has placed everybody in a body. That's his desire. Everyone be in a body and function as a body for his glory in spreading the gospel. Last week, we looked at the fact that God spoke to people and he still speaks to people today. And if anyone had stayed for the afternoon message, they would have seen that God really nailed home the morning message, and God spoke to us clearly in that afternoon message about how he comes. We're not to be flipping coins or asking for doors to be opened and closed. We have a real relationship with God who speaks to us and leads us and guides us. And we cannot just go on circumstances alone, but circumstances that God does allow some, but not only. We do not walk our Christian life based on circumstances only. We have a real and intimate God, and we have a personal relationship with him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to be looking at what that love relationship means. What is a true love relationship with the Lord? You know, when people talk about love today, it's a far cry from what and how love is described in the Bible. For many, it's sentimentality, it's emotional feelings. There's feelings of hurt and pain, and there's great exhilaration. But what does it mean, and probably more importantly, what does it entail to know what a love relationship with God is and really have that relationship? Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou may cleave unto him." Listen, "for he is thy life." Matthew 22:37, the Lord said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us." 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." John 14:21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." We have in Romans 8, verses 35, 37 and 39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, God himself is our life. Jesus said that of the greatest commandments in the Old Testament law in Mark 12:29, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. See, we see here, this is what God says about a love relationship with him. Here we see God's heart concerning the relationship with him and the quality of that relationship. You see, knowing God's will, experiencing his work in our life, hearing his voice depends upon the heart attitude and one's quality of their relationship with God. And many do not understand that Jesus does not just give us life, he is our life. He doesn't give us things to take care of us so we can have a good life. We haven't been brought into a relationship with him so out of that we can have all that we need. He is life itself. Now he said to us in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:14, these two are really easy to remember. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You see, our obedience is the outward expression of our love for God. It's not just following the letter of the law, it's the very spirit of God's command. He's brought us into a relationship, that one of love that is intimate, real and personal. And yet many believers don't know it. See, it was God who initiated this relationship, not you or me. Before we were even born into this world, God foreordained in his love that Christ would come into this world, that God would send his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. In the pages of history, as we know history, God demonstrated his love towards us through the cross. It's the center of his love. His very nature is love. God is love. Yes, he has attributes. He's just, he's righteous, he's merciful, he's compassionate. But his very nature is love. Everything he does comes from that nature, is an act of love. He didn't send his son into this world because we were obedient, that we were good. Not because we were lovable. It was while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God, because he loves us so much, wants in return our love for him. Now we've seen he's real and personal, that he's always at work around us, that he has a mission for his body, the church. We know from last week he speaks to us through the work of the Spirit, through his word, and through some circumstances and so forth. We know nothing can separate a believer from the love of God, and that he will make you more than a conqueror over life's trials. But the thing God desires most is for the believer to love him unconditionally, just how he loves us, with all our being. And experiencing God in a real and vital way, in the relationship the Word of God tells us we should have with him, depends on the way we love him. I had a sort of documentary type of movie thing many years ago on a lady called Carla Faye Tucker. Her and her boyfriend, she started taking drugs at 9 years of age and just led a life of misery, abusive parents and so forth. But her and her boyfriend both drugged out one evening, brutally axed to death two people and stole their motorbikes. And while on death row in a Texas prison, she came to know the Lord as her Savior. I think she was there for some 13 years. And she led others to know Christ. She encouraged many people and gave them hope. And she had a real peace about the situation that she was in. And when interviewed, I think it was Larry King, an American interviewer, I don't know much about him, but many seem to, he asked to her about the peace that she had. And he said to her these words, "It just can't be God." And her reply was, she smiled and she said, "Yes, it can. It is called the joy of the Lord. And when you have done something like I have done, and you've been forgiven for it, and not only that, you have been loved, that has a way of changing you. I've experienced real love. I know what forgiveness is, even when I've done something as horrible as I have done. I know this because Jesus forgave me when I accepted what he did on the cross on my behalf. And when I leave here, I'm going to be with him." And she remained true to God to the very end. And if you can get a hold of this document, get a hold of it. It's a good one. She realized when everything else was taken away from her, you have all you need if you have Christ. And her final words to those around her as she laid on the table was, "I love you all very much, and I will see you when I get there, and I will wait for you." And as the executioner injected those lethal drugs into her system, she was singing praise to her God. And she thoroughly admitted she deserved what she got. But what a testimony. And my question is, do you and I understand how much God loves us? Just think of this for a moment. We put a ladder up against that wall, and that ladder is representative of your life. And you've started out life and you climb up the ladder and you get to the top of the ladder, and then lo and behold, you've got it on the wrong wall. What a tragedy. What a tragic thing to reach the end of life, to get to the top of the ladder and find it's in the wrong place. You know, we only have one life to live. And you went the wrong way. If everything was taken from you, would you be content to have only your relationship with God? Honestly, you have to answer that honestly. Because if you're living to get things in this world, if you're living to make your life more comfortable for yourself, that's fine. But have you given God first of all? Everything. We saw last week, it is absolutely right of God to come in and interfere in our lives and take us to be where he wants us to be and use us for his glory and everything we have. So again, if everything was taken from you, would you be content with only your relationship with God? Your home, your job, your family, your children. As wonderful as all these things are, they cannot give you what God wants to give you. And that's himself. Firstly, God won't put up with rivals. God does not want competition. Matthew 6:24 tells us, "No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." See, is the desire really to really love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength? Is that the real desire that pushes you each and every day? Because God will not allow things to interfere with that relationship. And that's why people don't know how real and personal he is. That's why people do not hear him speak to them. And they so desperately need those things. Deuteronomy 6:14 tells us, "Ye shall have no other gods. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you." Matthew 6 explains it better for us. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewithal shall ye be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what the main push, and I'm talking about Christians today, is to get all those things and then give God a bit of time. They've got it back to front. You see, we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be fretful like the people who are in the world. When God spoke, he spoke to his people. You see, God in his love for you will provide all that you need physically, emotionally, and spiritually as he sees fit. But it is clear he wants first place. You see, a servant can only love one master at a time. And God, as we saw, came and spoke to people, and it is God who takes the first step in this relationship of love. The scriptures declare that truth. When God spoke to people, he spoke first. God's nature, as we said, is love. So everything he said comes from love. And he took the first step in all the love relationships that he went to. 1 John 4:7 that we read our Bible reading this morning says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You see, we have to believe, to know this love relationship, we have to believe in the one that God sent. John 6:28-29 said, "They said unto him, What shall we do that we might do the works of God?" That's a great question. What shall we do that we might do the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he sent." What do we do to do the works of God? Believe in his Son. Everything God does that comes into the world comes from God's love. And sin has so scarred people, they're not going to seek God of their own accord. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." You see, not one person is going to be able to stand before God on their own merit and hope to be accepted by God. Not one. Jesus brought down to man the love of God. Jesus was the gospel of God's love in flesh. And God is seeking man. God is seeking us. We don't seek him. And we won't seek him until we have heard and believed in the gospel. And then and only then does the Holy Spirit lead us in that relationship with God. And if God did not come into this world, then none of us would never have found him. And out of his love and out of his compassion, even when we were his enemies, according to Ephesians chapter 2, he was drawing us to himself. To know and do his will, to have a relationship with him that is real, that is personal, that is intimate. And we must be sure without any doubt about this love relationship and how much he loves us. You may say, "Well, hang on a minute, I read through the Bible. What about God's discipline? What about God when he chastises people? Why does God do that then, if God is a God of love, and given the circumstances of our world today where no one can do any wrong, and please don't upset the people by saying they're naughty, we can't have that anymore. What about his discipline? Listen, God knows, God understands fully what we don't understand. He understands what sin can do. And he loves us so much, so much. He will discipline us to stop us falling into that sin, to stop us continuing in what he knows will bring great harm and ruin to our lives, to our families, and to the church. And if a believer doesn't respond to that sin, then that discipline, then watch out. Hebrews 12:5 says to us, "Have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as one of his sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not?" We're in a day you're not allowed to chasten your children anymore. And it's parents who fail to chasten their children don't love them. Not according to the scriptures. Not according to God's love. And it's the same corporately for the body of Christ. When there is sin in the midst, we have to understand, as far as God's concerned, this is serious business. If there's sin in a church, it's deadly serious. And God deals with it. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." You know, I was reading this week that church leaders were failing to teach God's children the seriousness of sin in a church today. They want to deal with it. Oh, let's not tell anyone. We'll just deal with it privately. That's unbiblical. Or you go to a person, you sort it out, you do it biblically. Then if they won't listen, you take someone else. If they don't listen, it goes to the church. So they want to deal with it privately. It's hidden from the people. And the people, you know what that does? And it's very sinful on a pastor or a leader's part. What it does, it denies the church the teaching about the seriousness of sin in the body's life. Oh, if we bring this sin out into the open and deal with it, we will upset and may lose many people, and we can't afford to do that, was a statement. What has happened? Leaders are teaching the sin of failing to teach God's people about sin, the way God sees sin. And God's people continue in the sin. The body gets infected like a cancer, and it becomes ruined. That's why the body's to be of one accord, in one spirit, in one doctrine, and one faith. You see, God's name is at stake before a world that is watching, like it has never watched the church before. And God, understanding the ruin and devastation caused by sin, in his love, wants others in the church body to see the consequences of sin, to keep them from falling to the same trap and ruin. See, the cross was a demonstration of God's love in sending his son to die in man's place as the sacrifice for sin. And he's invited all to come to him. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Matthew 8:34 says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You see, when you responded to his invitation, he brought you into a love relationship with himself. But you and I would never have experienced or even known the benefits of God's love if God had not made the first move. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." John 15:15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you." Listen, brothers and sisters, if a believer has an obedience problem, they have a love problem. I'm sure most of us have a quiet time each morning. We feel that we've got to start the day off right, and we give the Lord some time in the morning. We've done our duty to God. We've given God a bit of time out of our life. But God says, "I am your life. I am your life. My presence is your life." The question is, do you want his presence for a quiet time, or do you want his presence in all your life? You see, we have not been created for time. We have been created for eternity. And our life on earth gives us the opportunity to grow close to God, to be obedient to God, to work in a relationship with him, one he started. We cannot claim to be his friend if we do not obey his commands. If we are just living for this time on earth, then we miss out on the ultimate purpose we were created for, and that is to love the Lord our God. That's what's missing. The love relationship, while they're saved, they're not out of Christ, they're in Christ, but they know nothing of the love relationship. Do you know that so many people allow their past to control them? And what that does, it places a limit on their life today. As God's children, we should be shaping our lives now for where we are going to be eternally. Our past should not be shaping our lives. That's why so many believers live in fear. That's why so many believers live defeated Christian lives. Because they're focusing on what they should have done or what might have been, what might be going on, and they fail to allow God to shape them and move them to an eternal future. And because of this, there's a danger of becoming emotionally wounded. When a person gets emotionally wounded, they end up with a hardened heart. Because they don't let God have the victories in and through them that He wants to have. They become spiritually hardened. They won't admit it. But everything is a problem. Everything's a danger, a fear, a worry, a concern. See, they claim to love God and they do love Him. They understand the Word. They know the promises. But they remain in bondage to the lives that they're living. Because they have not responded truly in the right way in their love relationship with God. They haven't yet come to realize what it's all about. They haven't come to realize what God has provided for them. See, John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, accepting what God says sets a person free from the bondage that sin shackles one with. Now, one of the most favorite passages of Scripture of mine in the Bible is Luke chapter 4, verse 18. You know, the Lord was in His own town going to the synagogue there. And as was the custom, it was people would have a certain time that they would read in the synagogue. And this is what the Lord read when He went in there. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised." You see, God sent His Son into this world to declare to us all how much He loved us and that He would set men free if they would only hear and believe His words and respond in love back to Him. You see, He loves you with an everlasting love. And He wants you to know and to understand, yea, He wants you to experience His love for you in a real, intimate, and personal relationship. See, there is no higher position, there is no greater relationship than to be loved by God Himself. Now, for those who struggle with life, if you study Philippians 3:4-14, you see how Paul dealt with the problems he faced, the problems that were in his past, problems that ruin many people today. He was a faithful Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, highly educated, zealous for God, especially in persecuting Christians and the church. But when he met Christ, all of that past meant nothing to him. He just wanted to know Christ and become like Him. He experienced the love and the forgiveness of God, and his only response was to love Him back with all his soul, all his heart, all his mind, and all his strength. He just wanted to be like his Savior. And to do that, he had to put away all the old stuff. He had to press towards the goal of the heavenly prize. You see, what mattered was the eternal future before him. Not what happened in the past. That no longer governed his life. Listen, if anyone could have been well burdened with fear and guilt and shame, it was Paul. but he experienced the true love of his God, and he lived life in the relationship with him now, not in the past that he had. You see, our present should be shaped and molded by what we are to become in Christ, not by what sin or circumstances have shaped us in the past. See, it is only God who loves with unquestionable, unconditional love. Only he knows what is best for us. Learning of his ways, his plans and his purposes is not the reason to spend time with him. We should want to fellowship with him because of what we already know about him as we live in this love relationship with him. You see, that's the starting point from which everything else flows. You know, I spend time alone with God, and I love to spend time alone with God, but I don't do that so I can have a relationship with him. I do it because I already have one. When you love him, you look forward to being with him. Because when you're with him, your relationship with him deepens. Already, what I already have with him. And that's why every believer should make it a priority to love him unconditionally. Before anything else, before anyone else. Men, you cannot love your wife or your families properly if they are being put before the Lord. Until you love him unconditionally. Until you are ready to surrender everything in your life, all you are and all you have, to him. Then you will never love your wife and family how you should. That's why it's a priority to love him with all our hearts. See, when one struggles to make that time with God, don't just make it a discipline to read your Bible. So many people do that. Don't make it a discipline to have a prayer life as if it's a life sentence you're carrying out. Hoping one day it'll all be over and I'll be in heaven. We have in this life the opportunity to get to know someone who loves us above all and beyond, who gave everything they had so we could have a relationship with him. What are you holding on to? What are you keeping back from him? Are you settled down in a church, faithfully serving God, loving God, on God's agenda, not your own? What do you make the decision? Can you imagine loving someone who loves you beyond anything? Who wouldn't want to be in the presence of that person? And the more you grow in love with someone, the more your time you want to spend with them. It's simple. It's the same with God. It becomes easier and easier. It becomes to the point where it's just absolutely important to spend time with him and understand he is our life. Isn't the opposite so true? It takes a lot of work and you get very tired spending time with strangers. It takes a lot of work. I have calls, and Deborah will tell you they're not just once a month, they're nearly every week, from people who don't want to know and understand the love relationship they have with God. They want to know the doctrines, they want to know this, they want to know that. If I ask them, well, you know, your relationship with God is based on his love. You ought to get that right before you get anything else right. They usually hang up. It's tiresome to deal with people like that. And God hasn't set up his church to be like that. He set it up to be one in love with him. Going forward in his agenda, not our own. And when God gives you a job to do and you refuse it, then you can forget about hearing from God until you get it right with him. We look at it last, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. That's not biblical. We've got a commission to reach out with the gospel. And as we, the leadership in the church moves in that area, then we need to be obedient and follow him. Not say, I'll do that if I can do this. You know, you read your Bible, you look at the lives that God encountered with his love. Remember Adam and Eve? We've been looking at these people over the last few weeks. Adam and Eve, God in love met every need, listen carefully, after they had sinned. Isn't that amazing? Hagar, God lovingly provided for Hagar after being used and abused by Sarah. And when all was gone, God saw her need and came to her and provided for her. What about Solomon? What a heritage that young man had. He had a heritage of faith and obedience. His father was a man after God's own heart. Yet when God came to him and gave him the opportunity to ask and receive anything he wanted, he showed his love for God and to God's people by asking for wisdom. And God granted abundantly more. Peter in prison, waiting to be executed. God came to Peter and delivered him from the jaws of death. One of my favorites is John. In exile, while spending time in communion with God, and you know that it was on the Lord's Day. It was the Lord's Day. How do you treat the Lord's Day? Is it important for you to gather as a body? To be there as an arm or an eye, whatever position God's given you for the good of the body? Or do you just come to church to please yourself? You see, it was on the Lord's Day. John was shown which must shortly come to pass. And what a challenge and encouragement that message has been down through the ages. Now, what does the Lord's Day mean to you? You see, one cannot read the scriptures and fail to see that people experience God in real, personal, and intimate ways. And listen, God has not changed. And we can experience the same relationship as we respond to God working in our lives the way these people did. You see, love cannot be expressed without someone to express it to. And a love relationship with God takes place between two people. It's real and it's active. And God desires and wants to fill our hearts and lives with himself. And if we cannot remember a time when our relationship with him was real, personal and intimate, then we need to weigh up our walk with God. We need to go before him in prayer and ask him earnestly to reveal to us the true nature of our relationship with him and ask him to make it real and personal and intimate. Do you know the daily presence of God in a believer's life should be the most practical part of their life? God is at work redeeming a lost world to himself, and he takes his children and makes them a part of that. What a privilege. What a blessing it is to be in God's family. If you're here today and you've never entered into a saving relationship with God through His grace and the shed blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I plead with you today, don't leave here until you make it right. Today is the day of salvation. Come into His family. Know and experience His love for you. It's real, it's personal, and it will set you free beyond anything you could ever imagine. Because finally you'll be loved by the one who created you. And you get to love Him in return. But if you are a child of God here this morning and your relationship is not close, then I can guarantee you everything is out of sorts. Knowing and doing His will for your life will be mixed up. And what needs to happen is you have to get your relationship with Him in order. Now, what a sad thing for a believer not to know their Creator and God intimately and personally in a love relationship He initiated and desires you to be a part of. He wants to set you free. What is it going to be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the simple truths of Your word. We thank You, Lord, that this relationship with You is based on what You have done. You have come to us with the greatest love of all, unconditional giving of Your Son, that whoever may receive Him freely and have eternal life. To be able to love You in return is the greatest blessing in a believer's life while on this earth. Father, for those of us who may have let this relationship slip or never really come to understand what a love relationship with You is, that hearts be humbled today and they call upon Your name to show them who You really are and how much You truly love them and that You want to love them in return. And for those who are here today and do not know You, that they would have experienced the Holy Spirit at work in their hearts today, that their consciences have been pricked, there are questions asked deep within them. They may not admit it openly, but it's happening. He's at work. I pray they deny not the calling to their hearts that You are the one true God who loves them. Lord, may You be glorified today in all things. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.